Hi, I'm Phoebe Goh.
And I'm Mecca Williams.
And welcome to a special edition of the STEMinist podcast. We are here at the NetApp Insight Conference, and we are talking to amazing people with new perspectives around technology.
We're bringing voices from our partners and customers that you've likely not heard from before, discussing cutting-edge topics like cloud, AI, and cyber resilience, all from a data-centric perspective.
And our hot topic today is one I know we are both really excited about, Mecca. It is around networking and the impact that that has on data security.
Exactly. We've talked all about infrastructure a ton on the podcast, but we haven't touched networking, and it is so important to security.
So joining us today to talk about this very important infrastructure topic is Gladys Klein. She is the Vice President, Partners and Alliances at GDT. So welcome, Gladys.
Thank you so much. I'm so honored and excited to be here.
So maybe just start a little bit and tell us about your career path, your trajectory, because it's a really interesting one.
My parents are immigrants to this country from the Philippines, and we were a family that really wanted to figure out how do we advance our family. And so when I was thinking about that and thinking about a career, engineering just felt so natural. So I studied electrical engineering and very quickly found myself falling in love with networking. After school, I was recruited by a company called Wellfleet, and being the old lady that I am, not sure everyone's going to remember that company, but it was one of the key competitors in the industry of routing and networking and switching, and so I was able to kind of build my career from there and became a company called Bay, then was acquired by Nortel. I moved on to work at Cisco, but stayed in this industry for over 20 plus years in that engineering capacity. And I very quickly was told by people, you need to go pre-sales engineering because you've got a lot to say. And I think people will understand an element of engineering that is around solving a problem. And that's what pre-sales engineering to me has always been about. How do you solve that problem for people? How do you draw out of them the problems that they're trying to solve? And then I realized alliances is really where I belonged. And it was bringing the OEMs and the solutions and all of that technology and getting the right people in front of our customers to tell that story and be their advocates. I build solutions for our sellers. So I'm a servant leader and a servant to the sales community, just trying to make sure that they understand the opportunities that are in front of them and how do we best communicate that? How do we enable them to communicate that to our customers? So that's kind of the journey over the 37 years.
I love hearing folks tell stories of how they've transitioned from their engineering origins into different areas of business to help bring those skill sets across the business and do great work. So for our listeners that aren't familiar with GDT, share with us, what does GDT do?
We're a solution provider, an integrator of solutions. And so we partner with organizations like NetApp and all of the big players in our industry. Our primary focus is to be that front end for our customers and trying to understand what are your pain points and what are the problems you're trying to solve. So GDT enters into conversations with those customers, and our responsibility is bringing the best to the industry and into the field. And that's the beauty of being a partner to the OEMs is, again, we get to build those relationships and we get to help our customers agnostically. So GDT functions in that capacity. We partner with these OEMs and help, again, facilitate the right conversations that customers are looking to have.
Yeah, I can imagine with your breadth of experience and with all those relationships, it can be really helpful for customers to help them find the right solutions. So let's jump into our big topic for today around networking and data and security. You know, Mecca and I come from a very data-centric background, so we're always thinking about the data and the storage and those pieces. But you come from a networking background.
Yes.
So for you, what does security in data look like?
I remember the very traditional way that we thought about networking, core distribution, and access layers that we always talked about. Mm-hmm. And data sat in that core, mm-hmm. and that was where we looked to protect it. Perimeter-based security mm-hmm. is what we always looked at. Well, the reality is there were different components to that. There was the perimeter firewalls, there were VPNs, there were DMZs, there were IPSs and IDSs. You had to have endpoint security. But there were problems as the network started to modernize mm-hmm. because what we're realizing is points of entry were expanding out. It was no longer that north-south flow of data. There was more of the east and west. Mm-hmm. And so now the traditional way, that perimeter-based security, that model was breaking. There was really overprivilege to the access because mm-hmm. once you were in, it was hard to protect yeah. and really identify where the users were once they were in your network. Mm-hmm. And then there was the operational overhead. Yeah. So that model started to break. The networks were changing, right? The users, the apps, the data, they were outside of that traditional flow. Mm-hmm. So we needed to figure out how to protect that. And that's, to me, why I fell in love with SASE mm-hmm. and SASE being secure access, secure edge. Mm-hmm. And it introduced zero trust. And it introduced a way of really protecting your data wherever it lived.
Mm-hmm. As you were talking, I was just thinking about, you know, how mobile devices have totally changed the way that we access things. Yeah, yeah. And even now, you know, we're here at a conference mm-hmm. and Insight, and I'm doing so much mm-hmm. stuff remotely, right? Like I'm still exactly. connecting with my users and my customers back at home and, yeah. and in other parts of the world.
And to your point, it is clear that security vulnerabilities are being experienced at perimeter devices. Yep. Have there been other things that have come along and kind of caused us or forced us to reevaluate how we do yeah. networking security?
I think one of the most major tilting points was COVID. At that point, I was with one of the OEMs and I was in US public sector. So we had a huge federal presence and we were supporting a lot of those security-based agencies. Those folks had to work from home. And so for me, remote access changed the way that we secure environments and what's necessary. Yeah. The cloud really introduced the differences in how we needed to secure data. Mm-hmm. So one of the examples was NetApp's cloud volume solution and how so much of that is around data availability and data integrity and backup access. Well, that's data at rest. And then you have to think about, well, how do you secure it when you have to do transportation of that data? Well, that's where SASE comes in. Mm-hmm. And SASE now secures the data. It does identity awareness and how you access that data. I love that it's an ecosystem of solutions mm-hmm. because it's looking at, again, the best option for how to secure your environment. And when you think about what are the changes in the world that we've seen, AI is going to be the biggest element of that. NetApp is building out this AI structure and the metadata and everything that is involved with that. Those are all the tilting points that we're going to be looking at. It's a whole new ball game mm-hmm. yeah. because of what we're introducing. It is unstructured data. How do we create it so that we can treat it in a structured format?
Do you also see other changes in the way that the data flows through the network for AI as a use case? Is it changing those data flows?
It absolutely is. Again, it is. There's no real way of knowing how the data is entering your environment, right? Mm-hmm. We all have AI apps. Whether we know it or not, they're on our phones, they're on our laptops, they're on our iPads, they're on every accessible device we have. They're in our access points. So it's almost impossible to really know where data is coming from now. And that's why we have to secure the entire environment. Mm-hmm. And it is securing the access, securing the edge.
And not just data entering the environment, but also your data moving. Every time your data moves, it becomes vulnerable.
Yeah. Absolutely. Because we work in a very hybrid environment now, folks are taking their devices home. They're taking them to Starbucks. They're taking them to wherever they travel. That introduced a whole new environment to the data that is supposed to be secured within my own organization.
That is so good to think about from a security perspective, as well as just, you know, the practicalities of moving that data around. So let's look at some of the opportunities here. You've mentioned SASE, mm-hmm. secure access and secure edge a couple of times. Can you define it for our audience?
It's data in transit. Mm-hmm. And so how are you securing your data as it's moving through your network, as it's moving through the cloud, as it's just transferring from one point to another? Mm-hmm. That's where SASE comes in. Okay. It's securing and providing identity-aware access. Mm-hmm. It's where Zero Trust comes in. Mm-hmm. And when we talked about that traditional network from many, many years ago, one of the vulnerabilities were you really didn't have full visibility into where your users were going once they were in your network. Yeah. Well, now, because we are so identity-based in how we're accessing our data, that's introducing the opportunity to secure, regardless of where that data is entering. So to me, that's the key. A true SASE platform is going to make you aware before you expose the rest of your network to it. Okay. And so how are you identifying that individual? What's the fingerprint of that person or their device that's in your network? And so that's where that identity-based access really comes into play. Is it based on their IP address? Is it based on their MAC address? What is the identifier of the device and the individual that can help you really pinpoint where access was compromised?
That is so interesting. So from a data perspective, we have something very similar. Right? We do anomaly detection based on how you're accessing data and what and whether you're supposed to be accessing data, you know, whether that's something you would typically do. And it sounds like almost like a layered approach as well. You can't just have one security, like, my network is secure, I'm done, I can go home. It's got to be end-to-end.
Yes, that's where those hybrid firewalls are really starting to play in. We are hearing more and more about that. And that makes them hybrid because they're living in every element of your network. They're living in your switches. They're living in your routers. They're living in your access points. So that, again, you have the ability to secure regardless of where the entry is. Mm-hmm. And what's really important about SASE is zero trust. Yeah. We trust nobody. And now you're building the rules and the policies on how people are able and different devices are able to access the network. So that's really a new entry, an introduction into how we get to the what we do at the edge and what we do at the access layers.
Phoebe mentioned a layered approach. So if you could talk about how these technologies and services and solutions can be complementary when we think about infrastructure, we often think compute, storage, networking, right? So does maybe compute and storage complement the networking, or the storage complement the networking in a way that's meaningful and maybe even for SASE?
It absolutely does. Again, what I really love about our opportunity at being a partner is we can approach it very agnostically. And the truth is, it's very rare that one OEM is going to solve all those problems, right? And so being on the alliances front, that gives me an opportunity to say, okay, these are the elements and the problems we're trying to solve. Here's the best option in the storage and data area. Here's the best option from a networking perspective. So you have to make sure you're taking that inventory of what's their current environment, how are you going to work together with the customer and the different partners. The beauty of it is most partners have an ecosystem relationship in one way or another. They're going to compete in certain areas, but then they're going to come together to support the customer in the best way that they can. So alliances gets to be part of that, which I really feel lucky about.
You're making it sound so fun. So
it's really fun. Don't tell anybody because they probably will stop paying me to do it.
Well, if our listeners out there want to learn more in between now and the next time you visit us, where might they go to read more and learn more about this topic?
Yes, please come to our GDT.com website. In there, you will find all of our solutions. I really encourage people to start at that advisory and transformation link within our site. That's going to help them understand how we do want to have that conversation with you, how we want to approach it, and then we'll figure out what's the right solution together.
I love that. I love the sound of that. Well, thank you, Gladys. But before you leave us and explore the rest of NetApp Insight, we have a quick question.
Oh.
What is cool and current for you right now?
Cool and current. So I'm a relatively new empty nester. Ooh. I'm 26 years into an insanely happy marriage with the love of my life and my best friend. And we're getting to know each other again. Oh. And that's really fun. So that's what's kind of new and exciting in my world.
Your family is the cool and current, and I love it. I love it. That is wonderful. Probably the best, one of the best cool and currents we've had.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Sure. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, thank you for joining us, and thank you to our listeners for spending a little time with us. We invite you to like, share, and download the STEMinist podcast wherever you listen to your favorite podcast.
And we will see you around because we have many more great interviews coming up live here at Insight and for your listening pleasure. See you next time.
See you, bye.